Welcome friends to Literature Mantra. I'm Harsh Singh and in this audio lesson, I will talk about metaphysical poets and metaphysical poetry and also talk about some things like metaphysical conceit and Discordia concurs, which is a part of metaphysical poetry, and also trace the level of acceptance or acceptability through the various ages. For example, it was very much acceptable during the time in which the metaphysical poets wrote, but during the neoclassical era, it's acceptability or the style that the metaphysical poets practiced was not as acceptable. It was considered to be a inferior form of poetry. But in the 20th century, due to critics like T.S. Eliot, the stature, importance and acceptability of the metaphysical poets and their style of writing has risen. So let's start with the metaphysical poets. Who were the metaphysical poets? Normally, few poets are clubbed as the metaphysicals. First, John Donne, very famous. Then, George Herbert. Then, Andrew Marvell. After that, Abraham Cowley. Then, Richard Crashaw. Then, John Cleveland. And finally, Henry Vaughan. And it is generally said that the term metaphysical poets was coined by the critic Samuel Johnson. But even before Samuel Johnson, a Scottish poet named William Drummond of Hawthornden had objected to the use of abstract poetry by some of his contemporaries, abstract poetry and metaphysical ideas and scholastic quiddities. Now, quiddities basically means the basic nature or quality of something. Okay, that is what quiddity is. So, Q-U-I-D-D-I-T-Y. I'm talking about that. But William Drummond did not give the title metaphysical poets. Okay, ultimately the title that was coined, metaphysical poets, was done by Samuel Johnson. Okay. And the metaphysical poets are famous because of the ideas and the methods that they used, particularly the metaphysical conceit that they used to compose their poetry. I'm sure you all have read John Donne's poetry. We all know what metaphysical conceit is. And in simple terms, it's basically a yoking together of apparently unconnected ideas or dissimilar ideas. For example, in one of his poems, John Donne describes his doctors as cosmographers and himself to their map. Then in one of his other poems, John Donne describes his beloved as his new found land. He says that, "Oh my America, my new found land." So despite the fact that there is a yoking together of dissimilar ideas or something unconnected ideas, yet it is done in a way that actually seems to make sense. So that's the beauty of metaphysical conceit and metaphysical poets. And also in addition to this, the various ideas that they made use of. For example, they borrowed ideas from the field of geography, religion, eternity. Then they also referred to the contemporary scientific discoveries of their times. And they borrow ideas from the contemporary debates or intellectual debates that were going on in their times on humanism, on faith. So this is the kind of poetry which, we all will expect from university-educated people. And the metaphysical poets were university-educated men. But metaphysical poetry has had its, share of critics. For example, John Dryden. John Dryden said that, John Donne perplexes the minds of the fair sex with nice speculations of philosophy when they should engage their hearts with the softness of love. Okay, then this is a very famous line. But later on in the 20th century, due to the works of T.S. Eliot, especially his famous essay, The Metaphysical Poets, and also due to the works of Herbert Grierson, particularly his anthology, the Metaphysical Lyrics and Poets of the 17th century, this is a very important work, the stature of the metaphysical poets has risen, or the esteem which the metaphysical poetry is viewed with has risen, has gone up. And T.S. Eliot, in his Metaphysical Poets, the essay, talks about the dissociation of sensibility. Earlier, during the time of Donne, those poets managed to avoid the dissociation of sensibility. But later on, the writers who came after John Donne and after the Metaphysical Poets, they could not avoid a dissociation of sensibility. And by dissociation of sensibility, I mean a kind of unity between their intellectual and emotional disposition. So the later poets, because of the fact that there had happened a dissociation of sensibility, wrote works that were either only intellectual or just emotional, but not both at the same time. Another thing which I wanted to talk about is Discordia Conquers. Now, Discordia Conquers basically refers to the harmony or unity that is gained despite the fact that there are disparate or dissimilar elements or conflicting elements. Okay, that's what Discordia Conquers means. And Samuel Johnson actually wrote, you know, disapprovingly of this feature in the Metaphysical Poets. And Samuel Johnson also said that the heterogeneous ideas which these metaphysical poets use are yoked together by violence. You know, this is what he said, yoked together by violence. So Samuel Johnson disapproved of this feature. He didn't appreciate it. So whenever you are reading about metaphysical poets or metaphysical poetry, you should not only study the features of metaphysical poetry, but also try to trace the reception that the metaphysical poets and their works have received throughout the ages. Reception by readers as well as reception by critics.